Our first testimony is from Dalia. So Dalia, if you would come, please.
All right, so hello and good morning, Sovereign Grace. My name is Dalia, and to know me well is to know that I am somewhat of an introvert, and speaking about myself and my life isn't something I would typically gravitate toward. So please forgive me if I seem a bit nervous. But with that said, sharing my testimony of God's redemptive grace upon my life is a welcome charge and something I know the Lord will be glorified through. For this, I am thankful to be standing here. Quickly, I just want to say thank you to all of you in whom I've had the pleasure of getting to know, either through various gatherings or during our time of fellowship on the Lord's Day. It's made transitioning to Sovereign Grace from my former church a great pleasure, and I look forward to growing in Christ with you all. So, a little bit about myself. I grew up right around the corner in South Corona as an only child to two loving and hardworking parents, both of whom at the time were unbelieving. My father, an engineer, and my mother, an IT, provided a very comfortable life for our small but tight-knit family. I went to private school, I played club soccer, I ran track. We took vacations a few times a year, and like good Americans, we went to church on every holiday. So I had a seemingly normal upbringing, and while I didn't grow up in a Christian home, looking back now, it's amazing to recognize God's sovereignty and how he has orchestrated certain events and utilized various people to draw me to himself, one of whom was my grandma. In fact, some of my fondest memories growing up were the times I spent with my grandma because she'd be the first person to introduce me to the gospel. Our time together was coupled with many laughs and cooking lessons and scripture readings. Knowing I wasn't getting the gospel at home, my grandma was faithful to consistently share God's word with me at a young age. We'd sit on her couch and she would read scripture after scripture, explaining to me the deity of Christ and what he had come to accomplish. She would enthusiastically proclaim Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Dalia." And she would remind me of my sin and would also remind me of his kindness. She would illustrate the gruesome death Christ endured and would note the wrath coming for those who did not believe. Through my grandma's consistent telling of the gospel and occasional visits to church with her, there was never a time that I can remember where I didn't believe in Jesus. And despite my attempt in responding to an altar call and asking Jesus into my heart, I was terribly unaware of my depraved nature, the true gravity of my sin. I was certain that because I was kind to people and attempted to be morally upright, that I was sure to be in God's good graces. I didn't give people or my parents a hard time, and I always did what I was told. I sought to please people so that I would be lauded for my good works. In Paul's letter to the Galatians, he writes in the 11th verse of the first chapter, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." And what I didn't realize then was that my identity was thwarted. It was wrapped up in pleasing others and myself. I cared about how others perceived me, and I had no desire to be a servant of Christ. I would read the Bible here and there, and I would pray when it was convenient, but truth be told, I enjoyed living for myself. I delighted in acting as if I had it all together. I idolized myself. And so I'd carry on throughout my teenage years attempting to be good enough, all while living contrary to God's law. When I was 18 and in my final few months of high school, my parents divorced. Hurt and devastated by these change of events in my life, I quickly began to rebel. I didn't care about putting on my fake Christian persona anymore. I didn't entertain the opinion of my parents, and I certainly didn't care what my grandma had to say about my sin or my rebellion. I started hanging out with people I knew I had no business hanging out with and started doing things I knew I had no business doing. And a year after high school, I moved to Oregon, where I would attend the University of Oregon and pursue a degree in English. I was 19, and for the first time, I was living on my own in a new city. New liberal ideologies plagued my mind. I had new friends, and I had new experiences that were waiting to be had. All of this culminated into a more rebellious spirit and a heart that grew colder and colder to the things of God. I was a clear representation of Romans 1. At 24, I was back in California, working in finance and living with an emotionally and verbally abusive boyfriend. Around this time, by God's grace, my mom had come to repentance and faith, and with her newfound zeal for the Lord and love for me, she'd eagerly preach the gospel to me and would invite me to church, and from time to time, I would go. I would sit in church, and I would listen to the pastor speak of our grievous sin before God, and it was kind of like a flash from the past because it reminded me of everything my grandma had ever told me about my sin and the punishment Christ had endured for sinners. I would listen attentively to my mom's pastor, but I would enthusiastically return to my sin when the opportunity presented itself. Looking back now, though, I realize that it took an adulterous relationship, sinful friendships, bouts of depression, feelings of inadequacy and loneliness before I truly began to question my actions and my standing before God. I remember being 26, alone in the bedroom of my apartment and feeling so incredibly broken. It's terribly emotional to think about because around that time, it was some of the darkest times of my life. Feeling hopeless and broken for me are words that I fully can't describe. And at that time, it was something I had actually never felt before because I had a huge social circle. I had my family. I had an education. I was working in finance and making more money than I had ever made before. But despite all of this, I felt terribly alone. I felt fearful. I felt hopeless. I finally felt my sin. Romans 1:29-31 had resonated with me in a way that it had never resonated before. Paul writes, "They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, and ruthless." The adjective Paul uses to describe our God-hating humanity is everything that I was. And for the first time, despite asking Jesus into my heart as a young girl, I finally saw my sin what it was before a thrice holy God. And at 26, alone in my bedroom, and at a time where my sin became too great a burden to bear, I remember that tears filled my eyes. And I remember crying out to God with the utmost sincerity and proclaiming, "God, I know that I am a sinner. Please save me. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." Ephesians 2:8-9. My quote-unquote good works in my early years and my pseudo-Christian facade did nothing to earn a right standing before our thrice holy and righteous God. There was nothing that I could do in and of myself to gain his favor. My salvation was dependent upon the imputed righteousness of Christ and him alone. It was in September of 2012 that God graciously called me to himself and out of a life of horrendous sin. I was baptized in March of 2013 and came to the doctrines of grace at the earlier part of 2017. I have been saved for 6 years now, and I am still astonished and at the same time so thankful at the working of the Holy Spirit in my life, both in the past and the present. The Lord has brought me to a new church family. He has established new friendships. He's provided for me in ways that I am completely undeserving. And recently, he has blessed me with an incredibly kind, encouraging, loving, and godly boyfriend who constantly challenges me in the things of Christ. I am so undeserving, yet so gracious for the graciousness the Lord has bestowed upon me. 2 Corinthians 5:17 reads, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come." And that's me, a new creation in Christ our Lord. To God be the glory. Thank you.
Good job. If you would come, please.
Good morning. I was born in Hong Kong. My maternal grandmother is a devout Christian. All the schools that I attended in Hong Kong were all Christian schools. I grew up without any happy childhood memories. I did not have a happy childhood. I grew up without my mother's love. When I lived in Hong Kong, I was severely physically abused by my biological mother. I was somewhere between 5 to 10 years old at that time. She used the wooden handle of the feather duster to flog me until the wooden handle broke into pieces. After the handle broke into pieces, my mom locked me up inside the house, and she went to the street vendor and bought another feather duster and continued flogging me with it until she returned home. The skin on my legs was torn, and my flesh and bones were visible from the flogging. My mother also starved me for many days. Many times I had to wait until my father came home from work late at night to eat, and that was my only meal. My father and my maternal grandmother were the only ones who fed me when I was starved for many days. I was also raped by my older brother because he was drunk at the time, and he threatened me not to tell anyone. My parents' divorce in Hong Kong was very horrific to me. When my parents got divorced in Hong Kong, my older brother and I were at the court hearing. We pleaded the judge to allow me to stay with my father, but in spite of our effort pleading the judge ordered us to stay with my mother because he assumed it was the best interest. The judge believed my mother could take better care of us than my father. After the court hearing ended, when we were parting our ways, I remember I cried my heart out because of the judgment made at the courthouse. My mother was involved with underground black stock market in Hong Kong. She took me there, and she left me there with wicked men. 4 men grabbed my hands and opened my fists forcefully. They used boxes of straightened metal paper clips and forcibly crocheted across both palms of my hands. I was crying and begging my mom to come rescue me, but she did not. After my parents got divorced in Hong Kong, my mom, my older brother, and I lived in an apartment on 13th floor at that time. The unit was adjacent to the fire escape access stairway. After their divorce, one night, after my older brother and I fell deep asleep, my mom called my father to come pick up our corpses. Then she cut off the phone line. Then my mom locked all the windows and the iron gate and the door. She turned on the gas in the kitchen. All the neighbors on the entire 13th floor could smell the heavy fumes of gas. They called the police. I woke up frightened from my deep sleep when the firefighters were banging on the iron gate. My mom lied to me, saying those people were very bad people trying to break into our house. I still remember the firefighters were using the welding torch trying to break the iron gate. After we got rescued by the firefighters told me that as soon as my father heard the siren, he rushed to my rescue, and my father almost slipped and fell out the window from 13th floor. Because my father didn't even care about his own life, he climbed out the fire access stairway's window without wearing any safety harness on himself. And he was breaking the kitchen window with a hammer in his hand. My neighbor's kids got asphyxiated due to heavy fumes of gas they inhaled. Miraculously, my older brother and I did not smell any gas at all. God miraculously protected me and saved my life. My maternal grandfather sponsored everyone in my family to immigrate to America. My father knew we were in great danger while we lived with my mom, so he was hoping to file for custody after we arrived in America if my mom moved to America along with us. After we arrived in Northern California in October 1988, I started attending elementary school until junior high promotion. My mom started molesting me sexually. One middle of the night, when I was deep asleep, I felt tremendous weight on my chest suddenly, and I couldn't breathe at all, and I couldn't talk at all or cry for help. I panicked because I thought I was going to die. So I said a prayer in my mind. Jesus, if you really exist, please remove this tremendous weight off my chest and restore my breathing back to normal. I'll believe you and worship you for the rest of my life. Amen. Then shortly after praying in my mind, the weight was totally lifted off and my breathing returned to normal. Later, I found out that I was oppressed by a demon in my sleep called incubus or sleep paralysis. Then my father, older brother, and I moved to Los Angeles from Northern California and I started attending high school until college. While growing up in my teenage years, I made a promise to God and to myself that I would not ever be like my mom. She's too materialistic. On the day before we left Hong Kong to come to America, my father went to a safe at the bank to pick up all the jewelries my maternal grandmother gave me on my birthdays. My mom lied and said all those jewelries were given to her by my maternal grandmother. Before my high school graduation, I attempted suicide by overdosing on prescribed medication with ice cream. That was the only time I revealed to my father that my older brother raped me when we lived in Hong Kong. When I was inside the ambulance, the paramedics asked me if I wanted to live. I said I did not want to live, and I did not even want to drink the liquid charcoal. The paramedics forced bottles of liquid charcoal down my mouth. When I was recovering in the recovering room at the hospital, I heard God's gentle voice speaking clearly to me, "I want you to live." In the year of 2004, 2 years after my oldest daughter was born in Colorado, my first ex-husband went to jail for domestic violence. On the night after he pounded on my head and kicked me repeatedly, I passed out. Then I was diagnosed with brain tumor at the hospital. I suffered brain tumor for many years. Operation was not an option because it was too risky that I might die if I had the operation. I was on medication for many years. I was very bitter toward my mom for many years, and I even told her over the phone that I would never forgive her. One day, I was overwhelmed by the conviction of the Holy Spirit and God's love for me, that he forgave me and died for me. God gave me the strength to forgive my mom and my brother. It's only because of God I was able to forgive my mom and my brother. If it wasn't because of God, I'd never be able to forgive my mom and my brother in my flesh. I asked God for forgiveness because of my unforgiveness toward my mom and my brother, and I said to God I was willing to forgive my mom and my brother wholeheartedly. After that, God miraculously removed my brain tumor. Many years after my oldest daughter was born, we moved back to Northern California and lived with my mother until we moved out of Colorado. After we moved out of Colorado, one evening, I finally told my mom that my older brother raped me when we lived in Hong Kong. She said to me, "You are the worst daughter in the world, and you were the worst sister in the world. How can you even lie about such a thing about your own brother?" In the year of 2010, I was married for the second time. He was previously married twice to two different women. In March of 2011, when I was 6 months pregnant, he shoved me against the wall and choked me with his hand holding my neck. He went to jail for domestic violence. My son was born on Father's Day without the presence of his father. Then in 2012, my youngest daughter was born. I didn't know I was pregnant, and we were still legally married at the time, although separated. Our divorce was not yet officially finalized at the time. On the evening of May 25th, 2018, I was assaulted and hands suffered fractured collarbone and multiple bruised bones on my left arm. Then on June 4th, when I was trying to get off my bed, I accidentally injured the same spot. I was admitted to the ER and I almost died at the ER because they over-medicated me through injection in my butt, and perhaps that caused allergic reactions. Soon after they gave me a shot, I was paralyzed from head to toes, inside and out. I couldn't feel my heartbeats and my breathing, and my throat was swelling up. I felt my soul, my spirit left my body. I cried out and begged God on my mind and in my heart not to take me yet, and I was fighting so hard not to close my eyes during that 1 hour. Now I'm a single mother of three kids. Although I grew up without a mother's love since birth, I learned how to love my kids from Heavenly Father and my biological father's sacrificial love for me. Matthew 6:14-15 says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Psalm 42, "He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings." Psalm 23:4-6, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Luke 23:34. "Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted as raiment and cast lots." Ephesians 4:31-32. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Colossians 3:13, "Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." Matthew 18:22, "Jesus says unto him, I say unto thee, until 70 times 7. I was born on January 21st, hence my life motto, Philippians 1:21. "For me is to live is Christ, and to die is gain."
We can see from even the two testimonies we've heard that God's providence works very differently in people's lives. But the thing that ties us all together is Jesus Christ the Lord and his death on our behalf and taking our sins upon himself. Matthew, if you would come, please. We'll have you give your testimony. Matthew will be baptized today also. So.
Good morning. Pardon me, I'm nervous. So I've been coming regularly for about 2 years, since of October of 2016, and before then I'd come here a couple of times with my sister. Before I accepted the Lord as my Savior, I was unsure and very afraid throughout most of my life. I have always struggled with anxiety and depression and temper changes that I never understood why. I found myself usually going against what my parents would want or what my family would want. And eventually I ended up into therapy. And it's there that I believe the Holy Spirit called me here. And my first thought was this church that I'd been to with my sister before. And nervously, on that first Sunday, I came here, not knowing many of you, even though I wanted to talk to all of you. My anxiety had a firm grip on me. Through God's grace, one day a man here came up to me and started mentoring me. And God, through that man, showed me the way to salvation through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I can't pinpoint an exact day and time, but I remember one night of this year in April or May that I woke up and I had this weight and guilt in my heart. And I remembered from scriptures when I was attending here, Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and of spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." And through the mentoring in scriptures, I knew what this guilt was in my heart, that I had put our Lord and Savior on the cross, that he had died on the cross for our sins. So I prayed and repented all the sins of my past and wanted to follow and trust in the Lord. And I remember that night I was crying because of all the guilt that had been on my heart. And I was so sorry that I had put the Lord on the cross. And after I had prayed and repented, I felt all this weight lifted off my shoulders. And in Romans 8:28 through 29, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work for good, for those who are called according to his purpose, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers." And after that night, I could see from scripture how my life had been changing and changed. The scripture Isaiah 41:10 comes to mind. "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And since accepting Christ as my Savior, my anxiety and fears have been lessened, because I know that I cannot be harmed because he is always with me, and without his allowance, not a hair on my head can be touched. I started to be less angry and stressed, and I wanted to listen and do what my parents wanted and what my family wanted for me. In 1 Peter 1:23, "Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God." And since accepting the Lord as my Savior, when I learn more by hearing the word, and the more I do my best to live by it. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, "And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers." Every day I'm so thankful that the Lord called me to salvation. My life has been filled with many blessings and trials to learn from and trust in the Lord during. Every day that I wake up and I come here on a Sunday morning, I feel like the Lord has always blessed me with a new lesson every day. And being up in front of all of you, I wish that I could have talked to you sooner, but I'm glad that the Lord has brought me here to talk to you now.
Amen. It's always tremendous to hear these testimonies. We have one more. Okay, John, if you would come, please, and give your testimony. Don't worry about time. A good 10 minutes or so. You know, he's going to more freewheel it here.
So although I was raised in a home that was, my parents were divorced when I was 5, I had the blessing of being raised in a very godly home. My mother was and is a wonderful, powerful Christian, and both sides of my family. So Very briefly, I was born in Virginia, moved back to New York, where my parents were originally from. Both sides of my family were there, so I had my father's side and my mother's side, and on both sides, I had this entire network of very strong Christians. And I was raised in the church since I was 5 years old. You know, my family was very active in the church, and so it was a Baptist church in New York, and they were of the Arminian persuasion, which, like Delia, I thought that you and I had a lot of similarities. What you said about your grandmother reminded me of my grandfather, who was this staunch Calvinist. I remember when I was young, he would always say, you know, like I was a little kid, and he was like, do you think that, you know, Christ died for everybody? I was like, oh, yeah, of course, John 3:16. And he's like, and he would get really angry. And I was like, I didn't even know what he was, I didn't even know what he was angry about. It wasn't until years later when I came to understand the doctrines of grace, I was like, ah, that's what infuriated my grandfather so much. But likewise, I'm also an English major, and like all English majors, I think I'm an excessive introvert as well. But anyway, I digress. Where was I? So yeah, I was raised in this Baptist church in New York, and yeah, I enjoyed going every single week faithfully with my mother, but it was really the model that my mother, her life was such a wonderful testimony. You know, I would wake up every morning and she'd be at the dinner, at the table, just reading her Bible every single day. I mean, and she still does that. So anyway, I think in my high school years, my older brother actually introduced me to the doctrines of grace and Reformed theology. And oh, when I was in Pennsylvania, I was attending Grace Fellowship Church with Ted Tripp, who some of you might know. I consider him a great friend of mine. I used to hang out with him at his house. So I considered myself to be a Christian all of my life since I was five. I enjoyed growing up in a Christian home. But I kind of had like a falling away. So when I came to California when I was 18, got in a relationship, and by 20, I was married and living on my own. And continued like that for about 12 years, and then we got a divorce. I have two children from that marriage. They're here with me on some weeks. I wish they were here every week, but that's a different story. So Abby and Dylan, all right. My son and my daughter. So I divorced when I was like 32 after about 12 years of marriage. During the marriage, I wasn't I wasn't going to church at all, and I wasn't really diligent with my Bible reading as I previously was. So anyway, that was my dark period. But after the divorce, immediately after, I felt very concerned about my children because they don't have what I had when I was a kid as far as the network of Christians that I had. And I was very concerned about that because I said, if I'm not the example that they're going to witness, who are they going to see? You know, I can't depend on my ex's family because they're not going to provide anything to my children. So I figured that it fell on me. So I decided I was going to start taking them to church with me every week so they could have the life that I enjoyed as a child. And so that's what we did. We were attending, Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in La Mirada. We were going every single week. I saw my children love going to that church. They grew. I myself got baptized there. I never really had the opportunity to get baptized when I was younger. We've been enjoying that. Then my job moved out here to Rancho. I soon thereafter followed, and then I found that it was too difficult to continue driving down to Trinity every single week. So then I wound up here, and I'm thankful for that because I've grown here as well over the last couple of years that I've been here. Carmen had attended Trinity with me and here as well. Carmen and I have been together for a couple of years. I think you all know her. Carmen, stand up. No, I'm just kidding. So, yeah, that's it. I look forward to joining the church, and I look forward to continued growth and for myself, Carmen, and my children here at Grace. So, Sovereign Grace. Thank you, guys. I feel like I'm the president, you know, when he signs.
Oh, yeah.
It's like I'm signing in this treaty. Thank you.
But the president hasn't applied for membership. Well, we are thankful for these. Tremendous testimonies, all of them very different, but a lot of similarities nonetheless. And there is a lesson that we can learn from Matthew's testimony. Leo is the one that took interest in Matthew and has set up mentoring times. These are things that people don't see and don't realize are going on, but I've had mentoring times here at the church, taking him through the scriptures, taking him through different things like that, and those one-on-one times can be very, very helpful. You know, we need the preaching of the word. It's the preaching of the word the Lord's going to use, but how great it is when the Lord uses our testimonies and he uses us to help in the lives of others. And I just wanted to say that, and very thankful for that. Well, what we'd like to do now, we will start. Remember, I told you that the clock is about 3 minutes slow, but we do have time. I want to have the four that have joined come forward, if they would please, and stand here in front of there. And we will have you as a church come forward and give the right hand of fellowship. Let me lead us in prayer. Yeah, go ahead and just stand right there, guys. That's fine. Yeah, yeah. And people are going to file by from this way and through. Just shake your hand and welcome you to the church with the right hand of fellowship. Even if you're left-handed, use your right hand. So, and may God's grace be with each of these. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for your matchless grace and your wonderful working in hearts and lives. Those that are Christians here today can testify, Father, that you also have worked individually in their lives, and then corporately you put us together in Christ and in the body of Christ and in local churches. Father, this is your doing. It's marvelous in our sight. We welcome these. We pray your blessing be with them. We pray that we would be proper ministers to them, and we pray, Lord, that they would in likewise minister back to us. The body needs all of us, Father. You are the head, but there are fingers, there are toes, there are legs, there are arms, there's the trunk. All these things fit together into even a local church to make it such, Father, that we can minister to one another, minister to our neighbors and our friends and our co-workers and our family members, and then minister to the world. So we pray, Father, that you'd help us to do exactly that. Help these, put your special blessing upon each of them by your grace and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.